Before we pray, we still have three questions in our Q&A. I would like to answer here. Okay. A moment come knocking at your door. Do you invite them into our house to preach to them? How can we evangelize them without it becoming a debate? First, we have to understand moment. Most of the Christianity don't consider a moment as one of the denomination of Christianity. Actually, a moment's doctrine is quite different. Their view about Jesus Christ is different. And also, they emphasize on there's another book called Mormon promote another book, right? Yeah. So their view is quite different. Mormon actually is very active in promoting their doctrine all over the world. When they were in the age of 18 or 20-some, I think all of you have witnessed two and two, right? Wearing a black trouser and white short and put on a necktie and then riding a bicycle, right? And then go door to door and knock the door or in the very public marketplace and they set up a microphone and start to preach, regardless you want to listen or not. So the spirit of preaching the gospel is really, we have to admire. They are very bold in preaching. They don't feel shame at all. Do you know? When you reject him, the next time he see you, he will continue to preach to you. So they are very diligent in preaching. And also, Mormon are very they never give up. So we have a TJC member in Italy right now. It's about 100 members, and some of the members' faith have been affected. Why? Because there is no TJC church there, and they didn't know what Mormon was preaching about, and they consider, well, Mormon are also talk about the Bible, and the Mormon will come say, well, if you have time. Whatever time, if you can make a point with me, even the evening, they will come. Early in the morning, they will come. Midnight, they will come. Anytime you are ready, they will come. So some of the members have been touched by them and just start to gradually accept them to come in and talk the truth with them. And gradually find out this kind of member, their view about the our doctrine, their view about the church, gradually been changed. So this is a real example right now happened our TJC member in Italy. So Mormon come out with a mission to promote their own gospel. So since they come out with a mission, is that possible that you convince the preacher outside to come to TJC and believe in TJC and baptize in TJC? It's very unlikely, very unlikely. Anybody who have tried, you will find out one of very common reaction. Once you open the door a little bit, they step the foot inside, they will never go. Right? And they start to talk. Right? You listen patiently because you think after you listen their sermon finished and you return, you want to preach to them, right? But it's not end up in that way. After they preach for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you think it's in your turn, right? Then he get up, say bye-bye, next time. I'm going to come back again. So their meeting is to preach. It's not to be preached. So we have to understand about this. If you really try to convince the Mormon, probably you use that kind of time and energy to go to the street corner to preach somebody else, even more effective. And how should we treat the people in the people in the moment? That's our CR 2 John Second John chapter, Second John verse 9 and 10. Second John verse 9 and 10. Whoever trespasses and does not abide the doctrine of Christ does not have God. You see, anyone go over and does not abide the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ, what does that mean? Today in TJC, it referred to 10 articles of faith. Now, 10 articles of faith was the doctrine revealed from God to our early workers. And because of 10 articles of faith, so TJC become a very unique church. So whoever trespasses and do not abide the 10 articles of faith do not have God. And he abides in the doctrine of Christ at both the Father and as the Son. Verse 10. If anyone come to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. Verse 11. For he who greet him share in his evil deeds. Here talk about evil deeds. Evil deeds doesn't mean coming out adultery. Evil deeds doesn't mean worship the idol. Here, evil deeds is to preach a doctrine which is different from the teaching of the Bible. It becomes evil deeds. So we have to be very careful to have no part with their evil deeds. So we should not support them, even to allow them to come into our home. It's just like if your family member worship the idol. Even I don't worship the idol. Can I cook something for my grandma to help her? Because I love her. So she can offer to the good food I cooked, can offer to the idol? Of course not. No, we should never have part with idol worshiping. Can I give a right to my grandma to the idol temple to worship her own God? Of course not. Because we participate in the evil deed. Also, anyone who is not against us is for us, right? It's very obvious the doctrine of Mormon is different from ours. So we have to be very cautious in the last days. A lot of people are very fervent preaching the gospel. If the gospel is different from the gospel God revealed to us, the sound doctrine, we have to be very cautious. Do not participate that kind of work. Now, so this is the answer of the first question. The second one, number four. In evangelical service, should we always pray in tongues, even though we ourselves are not embarrassed of the Holy Spirit? For someone who never heard the prayer before, it could scare them because they even heard the explanation of what the Holy Spirit is. So should we say prayer in tongue for later? All depends whether do the good preparation. You know, some part of the world in TJC, in the evangelical service, they only pray 3 to 5 minutes. Why? Because they don't want the truth seeker to be scared. But we look into the statistic. Their baptism rate is much lower than the average. Yeah. You're afraid to scare people, but you're not end up, you don't win their soul. Right? So what should we do? First, before we bring the truth seeker, we have to explain what is Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit descends on us, what kind of experience we are going to have. Right? And give them a lot of testimony about receiving the Holy Spirit. The fully prepare the person that our church have Holy Spirit. But when we introduce the Holy Spirit, please don't use negative description. we are going to pray. Don't be scared. Oh, something very strange is going to happen. Don't use that. Oh, use positive. Oh, do you know it's a wonderful experience of Holy Spirit? Right? The Spirit of Jesus Christ promised to us. That's a very precious gift of God. And that's a very powerful experience you can have. Use two positive instead of two negative. Now, so the person come already, hey, something is going, miracle is going to happen. I'm going to wait and see, right? Now, please don't use negative, because I always feel somebody use negative to describe Holy Spirit. Oh, don't scared, this and that, right? The next one. In the evangelical service, when we pray, the best way, we pray tongue moderately. Of course, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are filled by the Holy Spirit, right? Our voice will gradually raise up. Sometimes we pray aloud. Yes, that's the evidence of being filled by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes in the evangelical service, the members, they just pray at home, feel like a prayer at home or a regular service, or they raise up their volume. And sometimes they sing the song, and sometimes they say the language, Abba Father, this or that. All right. And then the truth seeker hear, and they look, and they hear, they feel the sound is very strange. Actually, when we speak in tongue, we turn down our volume, and that tongue is very beautiful. The tongue is very beautiful. And in some of the occasion, the truth seeker come to the church. As soon as they look at the way we pray, they admire. Oh, your prayer is really very, very godly, very religious. Everybody devout so much, right? So some of the truth seeker, they were attracted by the way we pray in tongues. Yeah. So it all depends on whether we prepare the truth seeker and how do we pray. Even in the family service, if we pray in tongues, sometimes you will impress the truth seeker. Of course, in some occasion, for example, we are holding the service in truth seeker's house. Everyone, all truth seeker, only two or three DJC members. In that occasion, maybe we pray with understanding. But we just exercise our judgment according to the wisdom God gave us. Yeah. But sooner or later, anyone who comes to TJC has to expose to the Holy Spirit. So when they witness the Holy Spirit, and there will be a very vivid topic for us to discuss. If we don't pray in tongue, they do not understand. They don't understand what is Holy Spirit. So this is the answer of question four. About question five. If you are bringing your Christian friend to spiritual convocation or gospel event, and he or she invite you to come to an event before your event come up, should you attend so that you will come to DJC after? Well, that also depends. Right? Depends about what? The first, we look at our own faith. If our faith are not strong enough, right, and we join other people's service, probably there are some yeast will come into our heart. That is not good at all. The second, we look into the one we are going to bring to our church. If he's a diehard member, then no way. Right. Very dedicated with some kind of title and responsibility. It's no way. Very difficult, not no way. If God works, he's come to the church. Right? And in the First Corinthians, the Bible says, to what kind of people we behave like what kind of people, as long as we hold on our own principle. The principle is try to use every opportunity to bring the people to our Christ, to the TJC. And if a person really moved by God, if if the person really longing for the truth, when you tell the difference of the gospel, when you tell the downpouring of the Holy Spirit, when you tell them another testimony, and when we move them by our own good conduct, I think even we don't go to their church, they will come. I remember one of our brother testified in his company. He was very much impressed about a brother because the brother behaved very different from others. Really had a Christian aroma. And one day that brother approached him, say, our church have evangelical service. And this brother, at that time, he was an atheist. He was so curious. I want to go. I want to see how come this person behaves so different from other people. So that brother come to our church because our members really shown a good behavior, really have the aroma of Christ. So if we behave good, we have a lot of wonderful testimony, and we pray for truth seeker, and Holy Spirit move their heart, even we don't go to their church, they will come. So there's no yes or no, depends on who we are talking about, and depends on how God move us, give us wisdom to make a decision. It's very important. Now is the beginning of 2014. We talk about a lot of spiritual cultivation. Yes, that's good. It's necessary. But also, we have to set a goal. What kind of goal? Jesus' two commission. First one, to feed my sheep. Right? When you are in the campus, try to invite those who don't want to come. Try to create a happy and very joyful moment. Sometimes I look into the San Diego that youth interact with each other. I really very thankful for them, and I really feel very admired. They interact like a family, very loving, very caring. When they gather together, very peaceful, very joyful. I believe everybody join that kind of group will be attracted, will be touched. So if you have campus fellowship, are very caring, very very loving, very peaceful. And you invite those who don't want to come and gradually make friends with them and to bring them back to the fold. So this is the first one we should do. We should do the pastor work. And before Jesus entrusted the pastor work to Peter, what did Jesus say to Peter? Before Jesus entrusted the work of taking the sheep, what did Jesus say to Peter? The first question. You don't know. The first question Jesus asked Peter. The same question for three times. The first question. You don't know. Oh. What is the first question? Do you love me, right? 80%. What is the first question? Yeah, do you love me more than this? What is this? This is iPhone. This is internet. Right? This is game, TV game. Do you love me more than this? Right? If you really want to serve God, to take care of the lost sheep, you have to cut short of your entertainment time and the time of your relax so you have more time to spend with them. Right? Do you love me more than this? And everyone, this is different, right? Just Brother Mark say, come here, right? So he separate with the wife for one whole week. More than this. Everybody, this is different, all right? But unless we love God more than this, we can show God, I really love you. You really the first one in my life, right? So make a resolution. The second one is what? Evangelical work. Don't be discouraged. If you keep on putting effort into it and pray for it, and God will bless your work. Now, really, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. You want to be joyful? You have to sow in tears. Not only sow in tears. Sow itself is the outer work, right? Okay, distribute the flyer, then I distribute the flyer. I fulfilled already. In tear means you put heart into it. I know that the 2013 March, we have a WDC in Irvine. A lot of delegate was touched at the loving and warm atmosphere of Irvine Church. I heard that the one who in charge of this event just encourage everybody, when you do everything, use your heart. That makes a difference. When you do everything, use your heart. So all the youth there, all the adult youth there, they use the heart. Seems you don't have to tell other people, but people can feel your heart. They will be touched. So in 2014, let us set a goal. Try to bring the Lordship back to your campus and try to do the evangelical work. This is called dynamic faith. Once you set a goal, you move towards that goal, you are moving, and your faith is dynamic. But if you don't have a goal, and then you just satisfy with the status quo, you don't move anywhere because we don't have a goal. And that kind of faith is stagnant, no power at all, no life at all. No. So we have to have a goal. No. Besides study hard, we need to have a spiritual goal. And two nights before, right, Sister Shear, why the friends disappear from the church. One of the reasons, because they don't have daily spiritual cultivation. So every day, reading the Bible and pray. Set a goal and move toward that goal. Your faith will be very powerful. So now let's come forward and let's pray.